The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth had heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and this morning we have a special music offering, Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Thank you. Thank you, Joyce Ann and Tatiana. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you confessing that we at times feel like Mary, overwhelmed with the task before us. But God, we thank you that by your grace, you give us what we need to be your servants, and when called, to lead. So help us trust in your grace, and trust indeed that you will fill us with good things. In your name we pray, amen. As I was studying the text this week, something really stuck out to me from Micah. Thank you for reading this morning, Ingrid. Micah, if you didn't catch it, you could look at it again, but it says that until the woman gives birth, God will abandon the people. And not so many words. The people will be left by God until a new leader is born. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels that way. I was having lunch with someone this week, and they said, Pastor, what do you think about the state of the world right now? Everything going on. I mean, where do you think God is in all of this? And as this person asked that question, I couldn't help thinking of what the prophet Micah said, that for a period of time, the people will be left by God. There have been people throughout history that have felt this way. Oftentimes, women. Women have not always been treated fairly in the history of the world. That's no surprise. And especially in the Bible, we read of stories that are oftentimes heartbreaking. One such story that I was reading about in a book I've been reading lately called Women of the Torah was about Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba is one of those characters in the Bible that you hear things about, but when you do a close study of the scriptures, there's something about Bathsheba that really is worth our attention this morning as we think about Mary. Now, here's the thing. Bathsheba was pretty much abandoned, just like we read about in Micah. She was treated and truthfully, the word could be said, abused by her life situation. Bathsheba was taken from her husband by force and forced to be with King David. She had in the royal court all kinds of other women who came from royalty, who came from power, who could contend for attention and power from King David. And Bathsheba was the low woman in the pecking order. And she would have suffered that continually. But through the years, Bathsheba grew a special friendship. She grew a friendship with the prophet Nathan. Nathan was the only prophet who could confront David and call him out on his abuses of power. And through the years, Nathan took Bathsheba under his wing in the royal court, and he was like a father figure to her, or a grandfather, or an uncle. He was a caring male adult figure in her life when she likely never had one, or the one that she had was killed by King David. And so finally, when King David was on in years and his days were drawing to a close, everybody wondered who the next king would be. David had many sons who were very powerful, sons who could do battle, who were physically strong and mentally cunning. But he didn't pick any of them. And so there was all kinds of infighting and intrigue to see who would come out on top. And the prophet Nathan went to David and influenced him to pick Solomon. Solomon, the great wise king, was the son of Bathsheba. And so Solomon was chosen, even though he wasn't the oldest or the strongest, he was chosen to be king. And indeed, he became the king. And when he became the king, there was still a plot to undermine him. Absalom, the oldest of the brothers, went and tried to orchestrate a way of usurping the throne. Absalom wanted to marry David's youngest wife. And so Bathsheba went to her son Solomon on behalf of Absalom and asked for permission, but Solomon saw right through it, and he prevented it from happening. And in that moment, Solomon secured his reign. And as I mentioned in the children's sermon, Bathsheba became the first queen mother of Israel. And other women would follow in her footsteps, powerful women that would give counsel to their sons who were kings. Bathsheba, who was not powerful, who didn't come from royalty, she didn't have a choice. She was just taken and thrown into this role, unprepared. And so I share the story of Bathsheba to help us appreciate the tremendous sacrifice that Mary did. Mary was not of noble birth. Mary didn't come from a prestigious family, at least not for generations. Mary didn't really have a choice, and yet she did say yes to God out of faithfulness. Her son became our king. And Mary did influence Jesus. We read about in the Gospel of John, she encouraged him to begin his public ministry by turning the water into wine. And I know that's something a lot of us can really get behind as a good miracle. So what does this mean for us? It means that as people who believe that we are saved by grace and not by our works, that it's God's grace that chooses leadership, God's grace and plan that calls us to serve God as God would desire. The great leaders are not chosen because they have tremendous personalities. You know, historians debate about great people of history. Is it that they had something special in them, or was it just that the situation in that time and place demanded a leader to arise? Well, it's probably a bit of both. But for us as Christian, as Lutheran Christians that believe that you are saved by grace through faith and not by your works, it means that your call to leadership, it's not about having a special personality, but it's about God's ability to call you and to, by His grace, to give you what you need to lead, to give you what you need to get through the most difficult challenges in your life. Think about Mary's song that she sang about Jesus that we read this morning. She didn't say, oh, he is going to have beautiful eyes, and he's going to be strong, and he's going to, you know, be so funny, and he's going to run faster than an antelope. She didn't praise his unique attributes. She praised the mission of God that Jesus would do. In her song, she said, he will take cliques of proud people and scatter them. God will take people who've gotten very accustomed to their power and bring them low. God will take humble people and lift them up and give them power to lead. God will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. We hear these promises of God, and they remind us of how Jesus was in the Gospel of Luke. We've been reading the Gospel of Luke lately in our Thursday morning Bible study. And in the Gospel of Luke, there's something called the messianic secret, where every time Jesus performs a miracle and people get really excited and say, oh, he's here, it's the Messiah, it's the chosen one, the Son of God, he says, shh, keep it a secret. He wasn't in it for people to recognize his personality and how great he was. He was in it to do the mission of God. And so as God calls you to serve God, we do it for the mission of God, not for ourselves or for our egos. Leadership is needed all around us in our world today. Leadership is needed in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, and of course here in our church. And there are many talented people with gifts. And I would ask each of you to prayerfully discern where is God calling you to be servant leaders like Mary and Jesus. Open your hearts in prayer to think about the process, the mission God is calling you to do, and to worry less about our personality, but to trust God's process. Mary said in her song that the hungry would be filled with good things and the rich would be sent away empty. It's kind of a sensitive thing, right? I mean, we kind of need to pause and ask ourselves, are we the hungry or are we the rich? Maybe sometimes we're both. I myself feel tremendously blessed to live in this country, to have the opportunities that I've had, things that I didn't earn. I just got lucky to be born to the family I was born to. And other times, I feel poor. I feel drained of energy and hungry. God has a process of filling us up when we're hungry and sending us out to serve until we are empty once again. It's not always a bad thing to be sent away empty. If you're carrying a heavy burden, if you have a lot of things on your back that weigh you down, for God to take those away and to share them and to send us away empty, that can be a joyful thing. There's freedom in not having a lot to carry. You know, we've been trying to make healthy choices in our life, to be healthy, you know, physically. And one of the things these days that doctors are encouraging more is something called the intermittent fast, where if it's hard to cut out things from your diet, just go periods of time without eating. And then when you eat, you know, you eat whatever it is you're going to. And so I've been doing that sometimes, and it works. It works for me. You do an intermittent fast, that means you go to bed, you sleep all night, and then you don't eat breakfast in the morning. You got to wait to eat until later in the day. And so I was doing that the other day, and I was feeling very hungry. And as I was getting ready to go out for the day, to go to here to church and to visit people, and I was on an empty stomach, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. And there at the table sat the three boys. Each of them had a double stack of toaster waffles. And on the toaster waffles was peanut butter. Natural peanut butter where the oil separates. It had been mixed together and put on there, and there was maple honey. Maybe it was from Canada. It was delicious maple honey. Natural peanut butter. Toaster waffles. And Sherry looked at me and she said, honey, do you need to make an exception to your intermittent fast this morning? And I said, can I? She said, "Of course you can." And the next moment I knew there was two toaster waffles in the toaster. They were on a plate. They had peanut butter and they had maple syrup. And they were delicious. And the energy that I got from that meal filled me up so that I could go and share God's love, that I could be emptied out all day long, giving and giving, so that again, God would fill me up. And so here we are, the Sunday before Christmas. We've come with perhaps empty hearts, maybe empty stomachs. We will open up our hands once again to receive the Blessed Sacrament, to fill our hearts and souls and minds with God's Word, so that we can be sent out again rich, a rich people, because of God's grace, so that we may empty ourselves, that we may answer the call to leadership that Mary answered, and before her Bathsheba, Jesus, Solomon. We continue in that great tradition of serving our Lord, even as we prepare to celebrate his birth. Amen.